AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Law enforcement is on alert nationwide ahead of the possible indictment and arrest of former President Trump in connection with alleged hush money paid to Stormy Daniels. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has our top story.
There are multiple layers of security in New York, including barricades around the courthouse, but also increased intelligence. Darren Porcher is a Pace University professor and former NYPD lieutenant.
The intelligence division is going to look into possible excessive airline trips into New York City from places where we had co-conspirators that were part of the January 6th offensive.
Bicycle rack barricades have also gone up around the U.S. Capitol in D.C.
CBS News has learned Mr. Trump is not expected to be indicted today. Classes canceled in the nation's second largest school district. Support staff went on strike in Los Angeles this morning. Correspondent Steve Futterman's at the picket line.
Many of the people here at this location are bus drivers. This is where many of the buses go out each morning to pick up students and take them to schools. So this is where the strike is officially beginning, and it will spread throughout, obviously, throughout the Los Angeles School District throughout the day.
Union members are demanding higher pay. Federal Reserve members are meeting to consider another interest rate hike, this time amid a crisis in the banking industry. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
It sends a signal that they are spooked about what's going on. And if we are really believing that this is mostly about confidence and we need to shore up confidence, I hear that the most likely path for this two-day meeting is a quarter of a percentage point increase.
New surveillance video shows the horrific death of a mentally ill man in police custody in Virginia. 28-year-old Ivo Otieno was handcuffed on the ground when he was suffocated. CBS's Jeff Pigues.
At least nine people are seen piling on top of Otieno to hold him down, with other hospital staff observing what's happening.
The video, obtained by the Washington Post, 10 people are charged with murder. They've just released a blistering report on London's police department. Baroness Louise Casey led the year-long review that found
institutional racism, institutional sexism, institutional misogyny, and homophobia.
Dow up 307. Futures are. A muscle car will make its exit with a sequel, a squeal, and some thunder. Dodge says its 2023 Challenger SRT Demon 170, the last of its kind powered by gasoline, will go from 0 to 60 in 1.66 seconds. This is CBS News.
Get 50% off tax prep at Jackson Hewitt. Limited time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max savings $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Nair. Here's what you need to know. Early voting starts today for the April 4th general election. Judge Janet Protasiewicz is endorsed by abortion rights supporters nationwide. Former Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly has the backing of anti-abortion groups. The race for Wisconsin Supreme Court has broken national spending records, at least $20 million already spent by both sides. Protasiewicz and Kelly will have a debate today. It's likely to be the only one. You can hear the debate on many Civic Media radio stations tonight at 6 p.m. A little good news at the pump. Gas prices in Wisconsin are down slightly. AAA says the statewide average is $3.23 a gallon. That's down 8 cents from this time last week. AAA credits dropping oil prices. They're at their lowest point since August of 2021. I'm Jane Matt-Nair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Hey, we got a big Wisconsin Supreme Court race this spring, and whoever wins will have a huge say over your freedom to vote, your freedom to make healthcare decisions, your freedom to have fair representation. So please listen to the advice from Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez of our Milwaukee Bucks, and make sure you vote in the general election on April 4th.
Hey, Wisconsinites, Drew Holiday here.
And Brooke Lopez here.
I want you to make sure you're registered to vote.
It's more important now than ever because politicians are trying to restrict our freedom to vote.
I think I know why.
They're worried about our power.
So they want to take it away.
Don't let them do that.
You've got to block that shot.
So please register to vote and get out to vote. Just go to myvote.wi.gov.
Myvote.wi.gov.
Defend your right to vote and exercise your freedom to vote.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, WisDC.org, which is solely responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Every morning.
Take my mind beyond the trees.
It's always great to be a baby boomer because you can reach back.
You know. You better believe it.
You know, I always say, I wonder if, because this is like 50 years old, 48 years old, but it still sounds good today. You know, and I'm wondering if rap, when they get to be 70 years old, that they'll be saying the same thing. Anyway, hey, oh, we're on air. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm honored to have in studio Ms. Marva Herndon, a school board member for of Milwaukee Public Schools in District 1. And she is a running for re-election, and she's brought along with her Miss Erica Simpson, who is a candidate in District Number 2. She's also a board member of Milwaukee Public Schools. Good morning to the both of you. How you doing?
I'm doing well this morning. Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. Doing well.
Yeah. You know, Marva, in a different life, I used to have you on my show, and right. We spent a lot of time talking.
And we did education. Radio shows, education.
Educators Amplified.
For a couple years.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And what most people may not know is my commitment and love to public schools, and especially Milwaukee Public Schools. And I just, like others, I spent the last 12 years volunteering my time in Milwaukee Public Schools. And so I think I know a little something about what's going on, what's taking place there, because I've spent my time there. And not just the fact that last year was my 50-year high school reunion from Washington High School. So I love public schools. I love Milwaukee Public Schools. But Milwaukee Public Schools and public schools across the nation are under assault right now. And anybody who doesn't understand that is not willing to open their eyes and in their ears and listen to what's taking place. And I'll say this before we move forward. I have not ever been opposed to you know, people having options and opportunities to go where they want to go. But where I have a problem with all of this is when you take away resources from where the majority of the children go and then say, okay, you've got the majority of the students. We're going to take resources away from you, but we expect you to educate those children at the same rate that you did before we took away the resources. Oh, and by the way, we're going to open up other school districts that you're going to be competing with. I just think there's something that's not right with that. And that's the end of my sermon on that. But anyway, let's begin, Marva. Milwaukee Public Schools is facing some difficult times. And I would say in my 69 years of living, the most difficult times that it's ever faced is right now. And losing a major share of the students that went to Milwaukee Public School. I mean, when I went to school, there was 120,000 students.
Yes, that's true. The population has dropped in the city, for one, and those that live in the city are not having as many children as in the past.
True.
Which the economy is probably driving that as well. So everybody's dealing with a smaller piece of the pie in terms of student population. And in addition to that, in Wisconsin, as you mentioned earlier, is that we've been defunded for 20 to 30 years in public schools. And initially it was MPS only that was the targeted. That was targeted, and whereas now is the entire state. So we're more in the same boat at this point. And then the state legislator wants to expand school choice even more. So, yes, it is critical. And coming back off of COVID, I don't think any of us have totally reacclimated ourselves to what we perceived as normal prior to COVID.
So I know we're going to get a lot of calls. That's fine. We're going to have the conversations. We're going to open it up to everybody. But clearly there's something going on as public schools across the state, as you stated, having this issue. You and I, Marva, remember when voucher schools were created.
Yes.
I know who created them, Polly Williams and Larry Harwell.
Yes.
I know the purpose and the reasons for why they were created at the time. Polly Williams, and then under Governor Tommy Thompson, she went to Governor Thompson and others and said, look, we'd like to have a fair and equitable opportunity for poor black children to get quality educations. Can we talk about maybe creating that kind of environment? Governor Thompson at the time agreed, and so they created voucher schools. Voucher schools that were created at that point in time were created to address poor black children and give them a fair and equitable opportunity at the quality educations that people believed existed in suburban areas. And so when they opened that door, they were in such a hurry to open the door, the schools, many of the schools were no more than storefronts with no books, no gyms, no cafeterias, educators who had no standards. And so we have to talk about where all of this started, and then we're going to talk about where things are now. But I think it's important that we do talk about from where it came to where it is today. So it came from those background, from that background to now, and Milwaukee as the target, to now South Milwaukee, Green Bay, all over the state, public schools are up against what has been created with voucher schools, and not vouchers. I don't know what they call them now.
Yeah, they're voucher schools. There's two types: the charter schools, which have to have an authorizer to operate, and they cannot teach religion. Voucher schools can teach religion. Therefore, whereas it did start in all the storefronts, in that there are a few of those left.
I know only the major players now.
Churches now.
Yeah,
and the major players are with the charters. And the churches, because vouchers can teach religion, they're using the program to pretty much run their congregations.
So what has happened is this thing, the Republicans got a hold to it under then first President Bush, the first Bush, and kind of took the program away from Polly Williams, who created it, and then Republicans got behind it, and it is where it is right now. But my issue with it, again, is that my wife and I were fortunate and able to send our kids, one of my sons, to a private school. We paid for that, right? I think it was Pius. First Messman then Pius. We paid for that, right? And so we're in a position now with this where people who've been sending their kids to private schools now get a voucher. They can afford to send their kids to private schools. Why are we, the taxpayers, paying for people who can afford to send their kids to private schools? I mean, there's so many different aspects to this. And our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. If I'm fabricating what I'm saying, you got a chance to call in and correct me. But I don't think you're going to be calling in and correcting me, because I know I'm 100% correct. And so if that's the case, and it is, then why should we, the taxpayers, have to pay for middle class and upper middle class children their education? We've got a public educational system that was supposed to cover all of those things. If you want to add the additional system to it, then fine. But there's something wrong when you now add the fact that people who can afford it, that their children can get to go to school on the backs of the taxpayers. Got a problem with that. Having said that, let's get back to Milwaukee Public Schools, because I needed to get that off my chest. Right?
We have to come more often so we can cover all the bases.
So here's where we are. Marvin, Milwaukee Public Schools is in a tough situation. It's being attacked from all sides. People who expect a district that has children who struggle economically, whose families have been destroyed, who live in war zones, where single mothers who struggle, who work at minimum wage jobs, who don't get support, and children who experience horrific evenings once they get home, to come to school that morning having gone through horrific issues in their lives, and now all of a sudden Milwaukee Public Schools is supposed to become the savior. The counselors, as well as, you know, feed, clothe, and take care of children who are in wounded and whose families are in wounded environments. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So we've got to go to a break, and then I'll give you guys a chance. I just had to get that off my chest. All right. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is Miss Erica Simpson. I'll get it right. And Ms. Marva Herndon. Oh, Erica Seamsman.
Simpson.
And Marva Herndon. I'll get it right. They're both representing Milwaukee Public Schools. And you can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
As a prosecutor and a circuit court judge, Janet Protasiewicz has been a lifelong advocate for victims of crime. Listen to Clayton from Milwaukee tell his story about how Judge Janet helped him.
After I was robbed and my girlfriend was beat up, Janet Protasiewicz was the prosecutor that went after those criminals. Those fools were on a violent crime spree. Janet prosecuted them case after case and brought those criminals to justice. I saw her work up close. She's compassionate. She's fair, and she believes in public safety. On the Supreme Court, I know she'll fight for you because she fought for me. Janet cares about us.
The stakes couldn't be higher when it comes to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Public safety, abortion rights, voting rights. It's all on the line, and it will be a very close election. Make a plan to vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz by April 4th. For more information, visit janetforjustice.com.
Paid for by Janet for Justice.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 51 this afternoon. Under cloudy skies, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight. Chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 38. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. Highs around 52. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered showers Thursday with a chance for snow Friday. Highs in the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to introduce again my guest, Miss Erica Simpson and Miss Marva Herndon, and they are both board members of Milwaukee Public Schools. They're in races, in District 1 and District 2, but they're here to talk about some things that I think it's important for people to know. Marva, you were talking about something that's taking place, something that was talked about many years, and that was a takeover of Milwaukee Public School System at 10 years or so ago. It was the state who was earmarked as taking over Milwaukee Public School District because, as many had said, it was a failure and it was failing students. But now it's no longer the state that's looking to take over Milwaukee Public Schools. It is a different organization. You want to elaborate a little bit on what's happening?
Yes, we have a local community organization that has developed themselves over this last 10, 15, 20 years, which is schools...
City Forward.
City Forward, which is the latest organization. And that is a combination of a couple of the others. They were all independent at one point, like Milwaukee Succeeds and Schools That Can Milwaukee. And then City Forward was created and built by the woman that was the executive director, perhaps owner, of the Carmen Charter School Network.
For people who don't know, Carmen Charter School is a part of Milwaukee Public Schools. It's what they call a non-instrumentality charter, which basically means they don't have to follow the same rules as the other public school systems.
Exactly.
Other public schools and Milwaukee Public Schools.
Right. They're independent entities totally.
Yeah, and but they are under the banner of Milwaukee Public Schools.
They're authorized, and an authorizer is simply the district acts as a conduit for their funding from the state and does a review, wouldn't you say, Erica, once a year. And that's pretty much it, whereas the general public thinks that they're owned by the district, and they are not. The district is basically a conduit for a couple of functions, and that's it. They have their own school board of directors, the whole nine yards.
Okay, so Marva, your concern is that the City Forward Collective has a plan to somehow take over Milwaukee Public Schools.
Yes, their business plan was published a number of years ago, and at first with the buildings, you remember when the initiative was passed that the city must sell the empty buildings or whatever is a long time ago. But what they found out was they don't want to own the building. So that's where this whole building issue comes in, that's used as a political tool at this point, is that, you know, we've got these buildings and we could just put them up for sale. And if you look back what's been happening, we've got like Edison that's been on the market for probably 20 years. Wheatley, Phyllis Wheatley was on the market for probably 5 to 10. So what's happening is they don't want to own the buildings, and eventually, hopefully, some investor comes along and convert them to housing, which is what has happened. So the fact that people say, oh, the district has these buildings, yeah, but putting them up for sale doesn't mean anything, except they'll probably sit empty for a long time, like the ones that are on the market already.
But for the sake of clarity, the buildings belong to the taxpayers, the city of Milwaukee. They don't belong to Milwaukee Public Schools.
Exactly. That's so, the other thing.
Yeah. So you know, that clearly it has been an ongoing issue that has impacted and affected these conversations about what's happening with Milwaukee Public Schools. But let me ask you, Ms. Simpson. Your thoughts. You were an educator for over 30 years in Milwaukee Public Schools. So you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. What are your thoughts about what's taking place today?
Well, I think that it's really problematic that we have these systems in our city that have, you know, we have these different systems and organizations that are out sort of attacking the public education schools rather than working with us on some of the things that we know are problematic. And it takes away, you know, it changes the conversation, and it takes away from what we really should be talking about. Like right now, I would rather be talking about what can we bring into our schools that is so necessary, you know, trauma-informed care and the funding that we need. And when we have, when things are fragmented and fractured apart, it confuses our parents. You know, they're not always sure what system they're signing up for when they're enrolling their kids in our MPS schools. So I think it creates a lot of confusion. It, you know, it sidelines the conversation. It takes our focus away from the children and what should be happening in our schools.
So from the time 30 years ago when you first started teaching to, let's say, the last year that you taught, the children are not coming to school prepared to learn because of the conditions of their families, right? I mean, I'm from a family of 13, and when we came to school, we, and granted, it was a long time ago, you know, back when they had oil lamps for, you know, in the classroom. But the truth of the matter is, we all knew, could count to 100, we all knew our alphabets when we came to school at 5 years old. What I noticed during the time I was in the school system is kids coming to school at the age of 7. First time. Can't read, can't write, don't know the alphabets, don't know how to count to 10. There's something going on in the society that we have to address, and I don't think it's fair to think that a school system should be the arbiter of what is wrong and should be challenged with fixing what we know is a broader problem than just the educational system. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Law enforcement's on alert nationwide as a possible arrest looms for former President Trump over alleged hush money paid to Stormy Daniels. CBS's Robert Costa is at Manhattan Criminal Court.
CBS News has learned that an indictment of Trump is not expected today, but could come sometime later this week. Meanwhile, Trump's campaign has been issuing a flurry of fundraising appeals to his supporters.
Tens of thousands of support staff on strike at schools in L.A., and teachers are honoring their picket lines. Parent Jenna Schwartz supports them.
We have some of our most underpaid workers doing some of the most challenging jobs on our campuses. The majority aren't receiving health care.
They've been negotiating for years.
U.S. officials say the Pentagon is speeding up delivery of Abrams tanks to Ukraine, opting to send refurbished older models to the war zone so they can be ready faster. Vladimir Putin is hosting China's Xi Jinping at a state dinner in Moscow. CBS News Brief, I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, inviting you to join us every weekday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. Up North News is your online home for stories that are unabashedly Wisconsin. We cover the latest out of the state capital, of course, but we also celebrate this amazing state with stories about people and places, food, events, history, and more. You can find our work at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, or search for Up North News WI on social media and subscribe to our newsletter, too. Then, each morning, I get you caught up on the latest headlines, plenty of weather checks, a little sports. We do a daily music break and a history lesson. We have newsmakers, insiders, community leaders, and all kinds of other guests and regulars. And we take the time to break down an issue or a story and explain it in plain English. Catch Up North News Radio weekdays 6 to 8 here on the radio, the Civic Media website, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's the only forum both Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates will take part in, and you can hear it Tuesday, March 21st at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station.
News director Terry Bell will anchor our special coverage as Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly debate some of the biggest issues facing the court, from redistricting to abortion access.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates debate Tuesday, March 21st, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by Ms. Marva Herndon. She is a retired computer programmer, and she's currently a school board member in District 1, and she's up for re-election. And Ms. Erica Simpson, who is also a board of director for Milwaukee Public Schools, and she's in District 2. You know, guys, what do you say to people who say children are failing horribly and Milwaukee Public Schools is not educating the children? And so because Milwaukee Public Schools is not doing a proper job of educating the children, we need to take the children out of Milwaukee Public Schools and put them in private entities. There are many people who say this. What are your thoughts to that?
Well, I would say that it's or the funding system is failing our children is what's really happening. We've talked about this a lot, where the funding system is based, you know, on property taxes. So if I live in Milwaukee and I have there is a lower amount of money coming in, and I live in versus, you know, Shorewood or, you know, Whitefish Bay, where they have more money, you know, you're kind of like setting a system up for failure because you are not treating those children with equal amount of monetary value. You're saying this child is worth this much and this child is worth this much more. So it's a funding system failure really across the state for all of our kids. That's the first thing. The second part of it is just that in the last 10 years, we haven't received the cost of living increases that we need in order to keep up just to pay the bills. So, you know, we've defunded and underfunded the system. And, you know, not that you, I mean, obviously not taking away the incredible responsibility that the district carries to educate our children, but it can't just be MPS. We have to look at the broader picture as well, and part of that is funding.
So Marva, when they compare and say, well, let's compare Milwaukee Public Schools to, let's just pick out, let's just say...
St. Marcus or yeah, something like
St.
that?
St. Marcus. Let's say St. Marcus. And, well, look, St. Marcus is dealing with the same parents, the same families, so... How is that an excuse? If St. Marcus and other for-profit entities are dealing with the same kids and doing a better job, you know, why is MPS complaining?
It's not that MPS is complaining. First, I'll say how they succeed better with educating the children. At least that's what comes out. That is because... All of our parents want our children to be successful no matter what school system they're in. The school choice program is set up in such a way that they capture the parents that even if they may be low income, they have that drive to try to make sure their children get educated. Therefore, when they enroll into a charter or voucher school, those schools can set up whatever rules and regulations they want.
That's better standards.
That's it. So they can, mom, you better be here once a week to donate a couple of hours, blah, blah, this and that. MPS can't mandate parents to do anything. We ask them, but we cannot make a mandate. But the choice schools, which covers both entities, require parent involvement. And that is key. Now, how do they get the kids to school? When you drive around them, you notice that the majority of the parents have cars and drive the students to school. So they're able to, you know, they're getting like the cream of the crop in terms of and being able to force the parents to be involved and support and volunteer and whatever else they want to require them. So the children naturally thrive better because you've got that parent that is probably just as involved or do the best they can at home. Whereas when you have kids that don't have a place to stay, don't know where the next meal is coming from, then it's a whole different ball game. And if the parent can't cooperate in the manner that those choice schools demand, those kids end up back in MPS. And I think because Erica is an educator and you've worked in MPS, you probably understand that better than I.
Well, I will say this. What people need to understand and what separates the public school system from these other districts is that by law, public school systems are mandated by law. They can't turn away children. They can't say you're a troublemaker. We don't want you here.
Or you're disabled.
Yeah, you can't do any of those things. But in private entities, they can.
Right.
So they can pick and choose who they want and who they're going to have. And I've always said that to me, when you're talking about the competition between the two, you can't say that it's a level playing field.
No.
When you get to pick who the children are that you're going to educate. Let's talk about, Marva, how right now at this critical juncture, in this critical point in time, and when I look at the district, it's it's losing the children, the younger children, who eventually are going to be fed into middle school and eventually into high school. If you are losing out on the children in the early stages of school, it doesn't bode well long term for the viability of the district, because that's what these, for the most part, these schools are looking at and dealing with. Many of them don't want to deal with the high school student because it's a difficult proposition.
And costly.
Yeah, and a couple of them have tried it and decided, nah, we don't want to do that. So what are your thoughts? And I would say, Erica, you also can weigh in on this about that part of it.
Yeah, well, you're right that we do get our high school students back. I mean, our numbers show that that's when families, you know, do return to our schools. And, you know, I think that bringing in our that early childhood group is so important, because that's when, you know, kids are at their you know, peak for when they're starting to learn. And that's the group that we have to reach out to. I will say one thing, that MPS has to do a better job of telling our own story, because we have so many great programs that families aren't always aware of. I'll just, you know, my granddaughter is in the language school, and I was telling a visiting friend from another state the experiences, and they thought it was a private school. And I said, no, it's a public school here in Milwaukee. So I think we have to do a better job of selling ourselves as an educational system.
I think there's no question that you're 100% correct in that. I've been saying that for decades, that the district does not do itself, any positives by not telling their stories. Let's go to the phone lines and a gentleman you guys might know, Wendell.
Hey, good morning, Wendell.
How you doing? School board member of Milwaukee Public Schools. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Help us walk us through where we are, man, and where we came from.
Well, I've been listening, you know, both all of you know, and especially Ms. Simpson. How do you pronounce your name again?
Ms. Simpson.
Simpson.
Yeah, that know me well.
But yeah, we go back a long ways.
A long way.
I go back farther than both of you. We spent 30 years together, Wendell and I, in another life.
And I want to start my comments by saying that I appreciate all the three of you, because I've had the opportunity to work for a long time with Marva and Earl especially. And then Ms. The person who Simpson is who defeated me. Not just defeated me, and she did a great job. And I still say she's doing a great job. So I'm not here to criticize. I want to just share some a little background and a slightly different view on what I think we should be doing. And you know, this has been my position for a few years now. Although I was, you talked about this whole process starting, Earl, more than 30 years ago, I was a plaintiff in the original choice case. I was a plaintiff. If I had to do it all over, I would still be a plaintiff. But my reasons then for being a plaintiff in the case and trying to stop the process was I took the position that we would be fighting over money and the children would be left on the sidelines. And time in history has proven that to be the case. The fight continues between the public, the choice, and the charter institutions. And my position is that we have to find a way to move away from the fight, the three entities, and focus on our children's, making the best possible opportunity for our children to get that education they need. So I want to just keep reiterating that, you know, because I feel that's where I am. And that's where I've been for a number of years now, especially after watching the thing play out and being a player in it. And I think we're coming up to that place where we will come to a place where the charter, choice, and public institutions will put down their
harsh descriptions of each other.
So let me ask you this.
And just try to work together.
So let me ask you this. The charters and the choice have come into prominence at the pain of the public because the resources have been cut to the public in order to uplift the charter and the choice. Is it safe to say that?
No, I don't agree with that. But let me tell you why. We talk about the dollars. When we talk about the dollars, we talk about not having the resources to fund our school system. That's absolutely untrue. This country, this government, these entities that control the money, there is absolutely adequate resources in the United States to fund the best education system in the world.
But when I
talk about this, I take it all the way. We're talking about companies and individuals that have trillions of dollars stashed away offshore, not paying taxes into this system to help fund, to educate children.
But
that's
aren't
what we're dealing with.
That's the deal.
So
no, they're not.
So Wendell, I don't disagree with any of that. But the facts are this: there is a limited amount of resources that are here, not what is supposed to be here, but that are here. And with that limited amount of resources, now they're split into three different entities.
That gets to my point about the fight being, the fight is directed in the wrong direction, not at each other, but to continue this fight that I'm advocating to force this government to do what it has the power to do.
So, Wendell.
We have the power to take this money back and put it into our system.
I don't disagree with that at all. I would be unmindful to say that the government is doing the right thing and putting the right amount of resources in education. There's no question that when we can spend $1 trillion a year almost in the military, and that we can't spend those resources better by making sure we educate the children of this nation. That's backwards in the way of thinking. But the chances of overturning that window, are not that great. Hang on, man. We've got to go to a break. Yeah, hang on. We've got to go to a break. And we'll continue the conversation on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. My guests are Marva Herndon, Erica Simpson, and Wendell Harris is on the other line. I see you, Cecilia. We'll come to you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
The Badgers men's basketball team continues postseason play.
You can hear the action when Wisconsin takes on Oregon in the quarterfinals of the National Invitational Tournament Tuesday night at 8.
Listen on these local Civic Media Network radio stations.
WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. Dial up WRCE 1450 AM or 107.7 FM in Richland Center.
Or WLAK 1260 AM in Amory.
Find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and everywhere on the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies this afternoon with highs around 51. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight, 38. Overcast. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. Highs around 52. Cloudy skies expected. Low 40s Thursday and Friday. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. Chance of snow Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say
all this hair ain't gray for nothing.
Girl, we couldn't get much higher.
Yeah, you know, because which one of my sisters were you in school with?
Oh, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Miss Marva Herndon. She is a school board member for District 1. And Miss Erica Seamson, who is a school board member from Milwaukee Public School in District 2. Let's go to Cecilia in Milwaukee. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I just wanted to say I'm not at your last caller. Let me not bust anybody's bubbles. I remember when Wendell Harris got on the school board, and, you know, I remember when people were, you know, rallying behind him and trying to get him to, you know, commit to the public school children. And that's what I remember. But I also remember when Ms. Simpson came on board, she really came on and she said what she said, and she did what she was supposed to be doing on what she said on her actual on her flyers and stuff. So I'm gonna say this, and the same thing about Marva Herndon. She speaks the truth on her stuff. And this if you're around public school people, you would know that the fight is really about the children. And these two ladies and all the rest of the people that are sitting on the board that voted in music, art, and physical education, I have to commend them for that. I mean, it was a long time coming until everybody could get together and get what was right for the children, because they had been, you know, there had been so much stuff missing from the system there. And I was glad when they got that all passed and are still working on getting all the teachers in place to make sure that our children get what they need. But when the children are sent back to the public schools from after the third Friday, and they get their count in and they send them back, Milwaukee Public Schools does not get that money back. And that's the shame of it. And I'm not sure what the people up in the state capitol are doing, but they do Milwaukee Public Schools a dirty when it comes down to not having these people in that private industry send the money back with the children. You know, that's as a parent of a Milwaukee Public School a child and having relatives in that system, I think they need to send this money back. And I'm not sure why nobody's I'm not sure who's going to fight that fight about getting them to do that, because it's unfair and it's unfortunate. Here, the private industry gets a free ride, and we still and we have to struggle with and get things passed, get a referendum.
Well, so that's the politics.
Politics?
Yeah. You know, when you tell somebody one thing and do another, politics is, you know, we talk about politics. And so we live in a representative government where we elect people, and those people are supposed to do our bidding. But then they turn around and do something completely different. That, to me, that's a trick. So you coined the phrase politics. And people don't like hearing that, but it's the reality of what we are faced with. Thank you very much for the call.
I understand.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. So Marva, you wanted to talk about some of the initiatives that have taken place. I heard the young lady talk about sports, a gym, and band, and those kinds of things, which were there for all of us. When I was in grade school, we had music.
Correct.
All the way through. We had gym. These are things that weren't electives. They were expected. It was a part of the package of education. Many of us didn't know that that was no longer the case.
Correct. I learned of it with my youngest daughter. And what happened with her was that she was into music. You know, I was a musician and all of that. And music is the life of my home. But we had difficulties. And she graduated high school in 2000. And she wanted to be in a marching band. And that's when we found out there were basically no marching bands. And you went to Washington with my family members. I graduated from what is now the High School of the Arts, and, you know, the music was everywhere, and bands were created, and some of them, many of them became famous and all of this, and that's when I realized that we only had like 2 to 3 schools on the north side that even was teaching music at that point, so that's something that I've been, you know, I've been out here fighting for our kids for decades, so I, as I campaigned to get on the board the first time, that was my first project to find out, number one, why and how could we repair that and concentrate on the schools that lacked the most in these entities, which was the Northside schools. So I was successful in doing that thanks to my co-board members. It was a team effort to get that where we have art, music, FIAT, and librarians, and initially the referendum from the taxpayers, thank you so much. That helped us with that, and psychologists, social workers. Am I missing anything?
So hold the thought, because we got to go to a break, and we'll come back on the other side. My guest is Ms. Marva Herndon. She's a school board member, Milwaukee Public Schools. She's running for re-election in District 1, Ms. Erica Simpson, who is a school board member, and she's a candidate for re-election in District 2, Milwaukee Public Schools, April 4th election. We'll be right back.
Hey, we got a big Wisconsin Supreme Court race this spring, and whoever wins will have a huge say over your freedom to vote, your freedom to make healthcare decisions, your freedom to have fair representation. So please listen to the advice from Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez of our Milwaukee Bucks, and make sure you vote in the general election on April 4th.
Hey, Wisconsinites, Drew Holiday here.
And Brooke Lopez here.
I want you to make sure you're registered to vote.
It's more important now than ever because politicians are trying to restrict our freedom to vote.
I think I know why.
They're worried about our power.
So they want to take it away.
Don't let them do that.
You've got to block that shot.
So please register to vote and get out to vote. Just go to myvote.wi.gov.
Myvote.wi.gov.
Defend your right to vote and exercise your freedom to vote.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, WisDC.org, which is solely responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.